Good morning. Good to see y'all today. I was telling them earlier, I've done this once, by the way. I was telling them earlier that as I was preparing this, getting everything ready, I kind of feel like I'm writing some kind of acceptance speech. You know, I'm kind of talking about the past and thanking people and all that stuff. So it's kind of weird. I'm not getting any awards or anything, but at least not that I know of. So anyway, today I just kind of want to talk about a phrase that Miss Lynn, I think Miss Lynn came up with. I give her credit, Miss Lynn Barber. Forever family. I don't know if she made it up or what, but that's who I heard say it first. So we're going to talk about forever family today. But before we do that, I kind of wanted to give you a quick overview of where I came from, just so you would know what we're working with around here, what God is working with. You know, a lot of people think just, you know, when you see me that I'm, and I've always been a good dude, I've always, you know, I've been from the perfect family, all that good stuff, but that is not the case. So I kind of wanted you to see where I came from so you could see what God can do, for one, what God can use, and then also what God can do for anyone else. So we'll just kind of dig in like that. I went over last service, you know, but there ain't none after this one, so sorry. So anyway, I was raised poor. I mean, poor. And I ask you this, who has had powdered milk? Man, I like you people. First service, it's like three people. Okay, here's how poor we were. Powdered milk. I loved powdered milk. That's bad, isn't it? Watery clumps of milk tasting liquid. And I thought it was awesome. So, you know, that's what we had. You know, we had milk and, well, kind of milk. So anyway, so that's kind of what life was like. We just had what we had. And, you know, it was one of those things my kids today are like, I don't want pizza. I don't want steak, you know. And, you know, at my house, it was like, man, it's fried bologna and tomatoes. Baby, it's it or nothing. So, anyway, food. Apparently, I like food. So, anyway, my mom was married a few times. I think four. So, four to this day. I think that's the last. There's not going to be any more. But first, my real dad, he was in Vietnam. He went back twice, actually. He liked it so much. Army Airborne Ranger, a tough dude. Didn't hang around after. I mean, as people know, you know, Vietnam was a tough time. And so he kind of left. So anyway, next dad was the one I had. Well, no, I always forget about this one. There was one that was there for like 2 months. You're never going to believe this, but his name was Michael Bolton. Anybody, you know who Michael Bolton, you know? But it wasn't the Michael Bolton, but, you know, I used to pretend it was when he was cool, but now I'm not, like, no, it wasn't him. So anyway, he didn't like us kids. We were annoying, so he scooted pretty quick, like 2 months later. Then my mom married this guy who was in my life for the next 17 years. Extremely abusive to me and my sisters, physically, mainly physically, probably some mentally too. You know, and this time, I don't have a lot of memories of this time in my life. You know, and like I was saying earlier, I think, you know, that maybe God has kind of, you know, shuttered some of that. from me, because the stories I've heard from my family are pretty horrible. So it's probably best, that I don't remember most of them. They tell me broomsticks was his favorite disciplinary device. There was, like I said, there was other things, but that's what they tell me was bad. I don't necessarily remember getting whooped with a broomstick, but, I remember all that other stuff. So life was difficult. The strange thing about it was we didn't know that we were being abused. When you're a kid, you don't know anything. So we thought that this parenting style was how it was everywhere else. When you didn't turn off your bedroom light, you got beat. When you didn't do whatever, didn't make your bed, that kind of stuff. We thought that that was just how it was. It took a while before, we kind of realized that this is not typical parenting. So anyway, that all happened, and life was not easy, but we made it through and moved on. It was funny. I didn't tell him this last service, but one day my mom finally decided that she had had enough. 17 years, tough woman, but she decided she'd had enough, and we all left, like we were going to school, and he left to go to work, and then we all came back and packed everything up and just left and never went back. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, that was just something I remembered. See, it just comes back every now and then. So anyway, after a while, life went on. I got married. You've seen my wife. She's been around here. Not that kind of around, okay? She's been around here. So anyway, we got married. It was fun. Life was pretty good. We done whatever we wanted. Kind of like when you get married. When you first get married, everything's cool. You do whatever you want to do because you've grown, right? So we live in Pleasant Plains at the time, which is, small. Back in the 90s, it was 286 people. That's what the sign said, 286. So when you live in a town of 286 people, you have to go to church, okay? You just have to, because everybody knows if you go to church or not. And if you want to be good, if you want to be the right kind of family, you go to church, okay? So we did that. We started going to church, everybody liked us. We were good. Everybody thought we were cool. But on the weekends, obviously, or any other time, we done whatever we wanted to. We were just going to church, obviously, it wasn't real. About that time was, I kind of was into cars. Any dudes in here like cars or chicks, girls, ladies, whatever, sorry. Yeah. I don't do this all the time, I'm just me. So anyway, I love cars. I've always loved cars. So I started this car club, and it was fun. Man, lowriders, we were not a technically a car club. We were a lowrider club. Because, the lower the better. Our motto was, if you ain't dragging, stop bragging. Okay? That's all I'm saying. So anyway, these people were not, they were not bad people, but you can imagine the lifestyle that comes with, young men and women and car shows and weekends everywhere. And so it wasn't a good lifestyle to live. So that's what we were doing. We'd go to church, then we'd do whatever we wanted to do otherwise. So our lives were not being changed in any fashion. A little while later, my grandpa had invited us to come to church here. Back when there was Biker Sundays, they'd come, bikers would come and do this big deal. My grandpa loved motorcycles. And he wanted us all to come. And when I say us all, I mean us all. I mean, my sisters and my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and everybody, okay? So it was one of those deals that you couldn't back out of. You know, Grandpa wanted everybody to come, so you just had to do it, you know? And we wanted to do that to honor him, you know, because, you know, we may have partied or whatever, but we were still, you know, people, normal people. So anyway, we did that. We showed up, had a good time, never left after that. We've been here ever since. It was kind of weird. My wife, who'd been to, you know, small churches her whole life, come here, kind of freaked out a little bit. She didn't freak out, but it was just kind of different, you know, because there was always the stories. Have you heard the stories about us? Us, you know, so until you get here, you know, you really don't know what we're like. But once you get here, you see we're cool. This place is happening, right? You know, I don't care. I like it here. So we never left. We started hanging around. They had a drummer, and it was fun, and you know, so that kind of stuff. And Joe approached me, and he's like, "Hey, man, why don't you come and hang out with us teenagers, you know, the teenagers and all that stuff." And at that time, they were across town, different area. So I thought, man, that's cool. I can go over there and hang out. And it was good because you could have fun. You know, I don't like to come to church if it's not fun. Sorry, I'm shallow apparently, but I want to have a good time. I don't believe that God is boring. I mean, really, this dude completely created every single thing you see. He's got to be pretty cool. I'm just saying. So at this time, like I said, we were doing this wishy-washy thing, back and forth. And, you know, God started dealing with me because kind of like I shared earlier was, you know, I came to church here as a little kid, just, you know, third grade, fourth grade, and went to church camp here. And, you know, they did this whole camp about the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. And the rest of my life, even though we were partying, you know, the Spirit was always in the back saying, "This ain't right. You know, what are you doing? This ain't right." So when we got involved here, you know, the Spirit is here. And it just wouldn't be quiet, you know? So, you know, God was dealing with me about the back and forth lifestyle. And then I'm working with the teenagers, and he's like, you know, this is really wrong because you're saying you're good and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, it's around that time I ended up actually giving my life to God wholeheartedly, and decided that it was time to quit playing both sides, you know, quit jumping the fence back and forth. So, I mean, you know, whenever you change your lifestyle, a lot of times the first thing you have to change is your friends. You know, Jason says it all the time, you have to change your people, places, and things. That's true. I mean, if you want to have a different style of life, right, you're going to have to change some stuff. You know, we have to do that. So a few weeks later, I resigned from the car club, which I built. And I was telling them earlier, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I was the king of all these people, okay? It's the truth. We were somewhere in the 40s, the 50s on members. So, you know, it was a huge deal. You know, everyone asked me for everything. You know, should I do this to my car? Is this cool? Are we going to go here? And I love it. If you haven't noticed, I'm a control freak, okay? And I probably have an ego problem. But I'm working on stuff, so I'm not perfect. So anyway, yeah, Pastor had asked if he wanted the helicopter again. Pastor had asked if I wanted to do the interview thing, you know, where he'd come up here and ask me questions, and And I thought about it because I was thinking I don't have time to prepare anything, but I just couldn't do it. I was like, no, because then he'd be telling me what to do. So I wanted to be in charge. That's what I do. I just want to be in charge. I know. It's bad, isn't it? It's bad, Chris, isn't it? Let me tell you what. They was out here doing this mother-son thing, and they was putting up that maze. Did y'all see that maze out there? It was caution tape and like 50 or 60 or I don't even know how many, a whole bunch of stakes. I went out there, and they was all looking at it, and Paul was telling them what to do, and he had a map, and I went over. First thing, I went and looked at the map, and I said, no, you're in the wrong place. You need to be over here, and I wanted to take over. So I just left. I said, I'll just go, and because I'm going to do this, because you're wrong. And so anyway, I know I'm messed up, okay? I am messed up, but God loves me anyway. So anyway, all in. You know, I went all in for God at that moment. I decided that it was time to be real. You know, when I was a kid, you know, back in that, when I lived in Tennessee, one of my friends took me up in a tree, you know, like, I don't remember how old I was, 6, 7, 8, and asked me if I knew who Jesus was, and I was like, I don't, you know, and we prayed and all that stuff. But it to me, it wasn't until this moment that I actually became a Christian, because nothing changed in my life until that moment, when I actually made a conscious decision to do things different. Now, I'm not saying I all of a sudden became perfect, but you know, I made the decision. So I want to talk about forever family. You know, things that we have to do in order to make this work. You know, you come here. If you come here, if this is your first time here, you know, we consider you our family. That's automatic. Because we just, like Pastor said, we just love people here. But there are steps that you need to go through to make the best or the most of this life we call Christian, right? So the first one, this is super simple stuff, but man, it's very important. God has a plan for you. You know, we hear that all the time, but do we hear it? You know, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. That last part is so big in that verse. To give you a future and a hope. Because when you don't have hope, it's done, right? It's over when you don't have hope. But what God's telling us here is, you know, he's got a plan. So don't give up. There's this hope that we can hang on to. This future that we can hang on to. And life hasn't been perfect by any means. You know, since I got saved and since my wife and I committed our lives to full-on Jesus freaks, it's been tough. There's been ups and downs. We've had ups and downs in our family and stuff like that. But we've always known that there was an hope that something is going to, it's going to be better. You know, God can deal with anything, right? So having hope is important, and one thing that can do that is knowing that God has a plan. And like I shared earlier, it's not a plan, not as in, you know, he didn't tell my stepdad to beat the mess out of me. You know, he didn't do that. That's not his plan. But whatever choice we make, if I choose to do something stupid, his plan can maneuver around that. Even though I done something dumb, that doesn't mean I avoided his plan. Now I get to go burn in hell forever. It means he already had something figured out. He knew I was going to do that anyway. So there's always hope. So don't lose hope. Anybody ever see the movie A Knight's Tale? A Knight's Tale? That's an old one. It goes way back, right, to the 90s. Oh, man. The guy in the movie, anybody remember his name? What is the star's name, though? What was it in the movie? Oh, come on. Ulrich von Lichtenstein? They said that like 100 times in that movie. Ulrich von Liechtenstein. Just like that. man, that was my favorite movie growing up. If you don't know the premise of the movie, it's like, it's in the Knight's Tale. So it's in the time of knights and stuff like that. And this pauper wants to be more. He wants to be a knight, you know, and be awesome. But he's poor like me, you know, back then. And so he's wanting to be more. And this movie, I identified with that because, you know, I wanted to be more. I didn't want to be the abusive father that I saw daily. I didn't want to be broke like we were, you know, that kind of thing. So I identified with this guy. His line was he wanted to change his stars. You know, he wanted to do more. He wanted to be better. And I believe that God used this movie, even though it